Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm here at the Quilt Market doing some interviews on site because it's always more exciting. I get to meet the authors and the quilters, you know, at the trade show. And so today we have a brand new author, Terry Kiger, who is here to talk about her new book, Creative Quilts from Your Crayon Box. And the thing is, I was really excited about this because the cover of Terry's book is really dynamic, and it looks like a very difficult technique, but Terry has told me it is not difficult whatsoever. And so, you know, of course, she has so much information, she had to put a whole book about it out. So Terry, thanks for being here. I'm excited to meet you in person.
Well, thank you, Pat. I'm very happy to be here, and thanks for inviting me. And you're right, it is very easy.
Now, this is your first book. I mean, I'm just really excited that you felt compelled to, like, go out there and just, I mean, that's a lot of work to do a book.
Mm-hmm. It is. It was, in fact, it surprised me how much work it was. Yeah. But it was fun. Martingale, fabulous people to work with. And I was glad I did it. I have had a lot of fun.
So why don't you first tell me, how long have you been quilting? How long have you...
Well, I made my first quilt as a teenager.
Oh, really?
My grandmother taught me how.
Oh.
And then it was sort of a joint effort between my mom and my grandmother.
Yeah.
But I've been quilting since I was a teenager, so a good...
A while. Okay. Because you're so young looking. Mm-hmm. So there
mm-hmm.
you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're doing this book, tell me a little bit mm-hmm. about the crayon box concept that you have.
Well, I think the crayon box concept is that every color that you need to put into these quilts, into mm-hmm. these projects that are in my book, come right out of the crayon box. I use mm-hmm. 96. It's the good old Crayola crayons that we've all been using since we were, 3 years old?
Yes, yes.
And I use the box of 96, mm-hmm. and every color is in there, every beautiful color.
So describe to me, I mean, the quilts look like they're painted.
Yes.
I mean, they mm-hmm. really, really do. It's different than other crayon techniques that I've mm-hmm. seen. So how did you come up with this? How did you sort of come upon this method?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a process mm-hmm. Over about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And really...
Wow, that's a while.
Yeah, it
took
a while.
So you've been playing with the crayons that long. Wow.
Yes, I've been playing with the crayons for that long on fabric.
On fabric, yes, of course.
Yes. Basically, it took two of my big loves, coloring yeah. and quilting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I loved to buy a brand new box of crayons and a brand new box of colored pencils because mm-hmm. I do use a little colored pencil.
Okay.
And I do use a little permanent marker, a micron
okay.
pigment pen.
Okay.
And I always loved to color, even as an adult,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and would buy those Dover coloring books and color in those. And so the type of quilting that I always really gravitated to and liked more than anything was the fusible appliqué quilting.
Okay, right.
Where you would just make beautiful collages or flowers or whatever, mm-hmm. but out of fusible appliqué.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I wanted to start adding dimension and
okay.
contrast
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and just details to those appliqué pieces. And nothing quite worked for me. So mm-hmm. eventually, with my love of crayons, mm-hmm. I started using crayons on fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And my technique in the very beginning was different than it mm-hmm. is now, but it
okay.
evolved over about 15 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that makes sense to mm-hmm. me because mm-hmm. when you start a technique, any kind of technique, like just mm-hmm. even think about your machine quilting,
yes.
you know, it starts out one way, and as you develop it and get better, it changes. So when you first started, I'm just curious, you know, what kind of fabric did you color on? Was it on solids or muslin? Mm-hmm. What was your base?
Mm-hmm. When I first started coloring, I used the fabric that I used most often for applique, which was a batik.
Oh, okay.
And I would use just a solid color of batik,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then I would choose a crayon color that was like two or three shades darker than the batik I was coloring on,
mm-hmm.
and then just sort of do a blended outline around each applique piece. That's mm-hmm. how I started.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, as it evolved, I started coloring on white fabric or
okay.
very, very pale batik fabric,
mm-hmm.
and then I started blending colors. From the outside edge in.
Because they look painted. It, though, if you visualize, you know, looking at a petal and having a dark outer mm-hmm. edge down to a light. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of describe how you would develop that petal color?
Well, okay, so let's say we were coloring a yellow petal that was sort of pink on the edges with a little bit of purple on the edge.
Right, right.
So I would start out with a white fabric cut out in the shape of a petal with fusible, fusible web on the back.
Right, right.
And then I would pull the paper off mm-hmm. and then fuse that petal to a nonstick applique pressing sheet.
Okay, right.
And I use the applique brand from Bare Threads.
Okay.
And then you iron it really hot. And what makes this technique work is the fabric is really, really hot, and mm-hmm. then the crayon is really, really hot. Mm-hmm. Because what you do is when you heat that petal really, really hot with the iron, then the sheet next mm-hmm. to the petal is getting really hot.
Right.
Then you press your crayon right there, and you melt a little puddle of crayon.
Oh, wow.
Then you pick that crayon up with a rolled up napkin.
Yeah.
And I show you in my book how to do that.
Yeah.
And then you press that crayon, melted crayon, into the napkin, and then you blend the crayon into the fabric mm-hmm. with the napkin.
Wow.
In kind of a circular motion.
Okay. Yeah.
So it really is kind of like painting on fabric mm-hmm. with crayon
yeah.
using a napkin. Ah. So what I would do for that yellow petal is I would, do you want me to go on?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would color the whole petal with the yellow color.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would take a pink crayon color, and mm-hmm. I would blend that around maybe the top one half
right,
of the petal.
Right.
And then on the very outside edge, you wipe everything off, heat everything up, melt
right.
your next color. I would put purple right along the edge. So
right.
you just keep
layering.
Keep yeah. layering your yeah. colors, one on top of the other.
Now, at one point, are you re-ironing that petal on the pressing sheet?
Between every color.
So how about the base of the iron? Do you have to protect
the iron?
You know,
it because you're putting that crayon on hot fabric, hot crayon onto hot fabric,
mm-hmm.
it just goes right in and stays in there.
Okay.
And it doesn't come off on your iron.
Doesn't come off,
maybe
okay.
Maybe after you've colored for maybe 4 or 5 different colors, you
yeah.
might get a little film.
Yeah.
But not much.
Not
I worry
much.
Way more about fusible web getting on my iron.
Oh,
than
yeah.
I do crayon.
Yeah. Then you do crayon.
Do.
Yeah.
The crayon is wax.
Yeah, so it know, just so easily will come
mm-hmm.
off.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's, you know, it's one of those things where it sounds so simple when you mm-hmm. explain it, but it looks so amazingly complex.
The results that you get are
yeah.
very beautiful.
Yeah.
And they do look a little complex,
mm-hmm.
but I've taught this technique to hundreds of people
mm-hmm.
from age 8-year-old with mm-hmm. parental guidance.
Right, yeah.
All the way up to 85-year-old.
Yeah.
Men, women, artists,
mm-hmm.
non-artists, quilters,
right.
non-quilters, everybody. I've never had anybody who couldn't do it and
right.
get beautiful results.
Now, once you have the petal, so, you know, you've colored, mm-hmm. say, a flower with, you
yes.
know, 20 petals.
Right.
Yeah, because a lot of yours do.
Mm-hmm.
You have better impact, don't you, when you overlap those
mm-hmm.
petals?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so after you have the petals, and you're going to fuse them onto a background, right?
That's exactly right.
So then do you stitch on the edges at all?
Sometimes. I'm not a great quilter. Mm-hmm. Not hand quilting or machine
mm-hmm.
quilting, either one. I'm just adequate. So I have most of my quilts professionally quilted. And sometimes they do stitch around the edge,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they don't. But it's not to hold the pieces on. It's
right.
just decorative.
Right.
Usually I don't have a problem with them coming off because
okay.
they're fused down with
yeah.
a hot iron. If I do have a problem with a little edge coming up, I'll just use a little fabric glue to glue it
okay.
down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. So are you using like more of an Ultra Bond type?
I use Steam-A-Seam.
Okay, Steam-A-Seam.
Mm-hmm.
So that is keeping
seems to
it
work the best for me.
Okay.
Steam-A-Seam.
Great.
Not Steam-A-Seam Light, just
yeah,
the regular.
The regular,
mm-hmm.
right, because that's going to give you that stronger bond
that's
since you're
exactly
not doing
right.
a lot of stitching
mm-hmm.
on the
mm-hmm.
on the final piece. So you have a few tips of, you know, like the crayons. You've tried other crayons.
That's right. I've tried many different kinds of crayons, including fabric crayons, and also what they consider artist quality crayons.
Right.
And I always come back to Crayola crayon. They just work best. They just
they should put your picture on
they
the box.
I think so too.
Oh, yes,
yeah, I should something.
Yes,
I should get something.
Yeah,
right.
We should be sending them a note. Say, look at this. Look what Terry's doing.
Right. Yeah, Crayola crayons work the best.
Now, with the iron, do you have any tips? I mean, do you have anything over the years of teaching this technique? Is, you know, is the iron important? Is there, you know, like, you know, little mini irons versus a heavy duty iron?
Well, what I have found is that the irons that don't work are the ones that are like really small, mm-hmm. because usually they don't heat up hot enough. Mm-hmm. And this, for this technique to work, everything has to be very hot. Mm-hmm. In fact, the pressing sheet will get so hot that you don't want to touch that. That would hurt.
Oh, okay.
But so the little craft irons don't work well. Those little tiny irons for ironing in tight little places,
yeah.
those don't work well because they don't have enough ironing surface.
Ah.
You need something that's going to cover a fairly large surface. So okay. just a regular household iron, you don't need steam.
Mm-hmm.
Automatic shutoffs can be a problem.
Yeah, right, right, yeah. But just when you're ready, it's not hot
That's
enough.
That's right. And
oh
since
my
it's
gosh.
So important for everything to be so hot, just mm-hmm. be aware that if it automatically shuts off, just always be checking to make sure it's nice and hot.
Now, do you have an art background?
I do not.
Oh, my gosh.
I do not.
So
I,
anybody can do this?
Anybody. Anybody.
Yeah.
If you can color with a crayon, you can do this. You
now, what
do this.
What types of projects are in the book? You know, so for people, do you have like a, from a simple one to a more complex?
I do. I tried to offer something real simple in the beginning and then the ones that end in the back. You know, I have 7 projects, so project okay. number 1 is easier than project number 7. But really the only difference in difficulty mm-hmm. is how many pieces do you have to color and
yeah.
keep track of
mm-hmm.
and then fuse to your quilt in the right spot. That's the only difference. So more difficult, has way more pieces.
Way
to
more
color.
Pieces, mm-hmm. right. So it's mm-hmm. going to take you more time for the
exactly.
coloring. And so you do get excited about the coloring
oh,
part.
Totally. Totally. I do. I love, like I said, I love to color. But, you know, out of all of this, Pat, the writing of the book and patterns and everything, the thing I love to do most is teach. I
yeah.
love to teach.
Oh,
I
my
really
God.
Do.
Now, how can they contact you if somebody, you know, like, would you travel outside of where you live to teach?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I sure do. Well,
so can they email you or you
absolutely.
Know, through like the Martingale site right
yes.
now? Okay.
If you go through Martingale, they have my email.
Okay.
If you go on Facebook,
right.
just Terry Lynn Kiger, I'm going to pop up there and you can talk to me through
okay.
Facebook and then I'll give you my email.
Yeah. Cool. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah. And,
so,
and you're going to have my Facebook.
Right.
Too.
Yeah. We're going to put your Facebook mm-hmm. on my blog. So
mm-hmm.
on my page with all the guests so everybody can
yeah.
see it. That's great.
I'm not
that's
hard
great.
To find.
Not hard to find. Well,
no.
that's And what part of the country do you live in?
I live in Dallas, Oregon.
Ah.
In the Willamette Valley.
Ah.
That's about 17 miles west of Salem.
Of Salem. So... Mm-hmm. So are you working on something new or, you know, are you just sort of enjoying this since
mm-hmm.
it's pretty new for you?
I'm kind of just enjoying it and
yeah.
getting used to everything new and being an author and people wanting me to come and do workshops
right.
and lectures.
Right.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
And doing some traveling.
Yeah.
I am starting to think about mm-hmm. Maybe some new projects and maybe starting a second book.
Yeah.
Just,
right.
Just to see if that will go. But
cool.
just in the beginning.
Yeah.
Of that.
Well, Terry, this has been absolutely fabulous.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you being able to take some time out. A quilt show is, I mean, the quilt market is always really busy, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you're a new author, so you have I'm sure had a lot of engagements, but we really appreciate it and love sharing your technique.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
So this is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we're going to take a little break and come back after the commercial.
Do you have a recent project to share? Post a photo of your latest quilt project in our show and tell section at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns, all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
Need a project you can start and finish in an evening, a weekend, or a couple of weeks? Pick up a copy of All Small, on sale now, featuring projects created with Moda Fabrics. We've assembled a collection of projects that are little in size, but big on style. Find All Small at your local quilt shop or newsstand today.
Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm here in Kansas City at the trade show where I'm meeting amazing quilters, new authors, fabric designers, people who have been in the industry a while and some that are new, and a mix of those. So I'm really excited to have Carol Hopkins here because Carol is in love with the traditional reproduction quilts, and she is a new author. She has her first book out, but Carol's been around quite a while, and you have seen her patterns and used them and loved them for a long time. So this is really cool because we get to talk to her in person here. I love that part. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pat. Good to be here.
Well, I just love being able to see you in person and chat. How is your show been going?
We've had a wonderful market. We've met lots of new people, signed a lot of books, and so it's been a good market for
us. Well, congratulations on your first book. I mean, I love it. And the cover is gorgeous.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about why you personally love reproductions. I mean, has it been a lifelong
thing? When I first started quilting, I did the quilts that you used five fabrics. And I thought it was hard to pick five that went together.
Right.
And then I saw reproductions, and I loved the colors, and they were in scrap quilts, so you got to use more. And for me, it was easier to pick 20 fabrics and have 20 go together than a quilt that had only five. So I liked the soft colors, and then the fabric manufacturers started releasing collections of reproductions of real antique fabrics. So I just started collecting those. The more I used them, the more I liked them. So I just sort of went away from all of the brights and anything else I had tried up until that time.
So you actually worked in other colorways when you first started quilting?
I did, and I have boxes that have Amish colors in them, and I have pastels, and I have 30s, and you know, I've sort of landed now, and reproductions really speak to me.
How long have you been quilting?
About 31 years. I mean, I started when it was the pre-rotary cutter and mats, and we used a yardstick to measure things. So
you've come a long way, baby.
I've grown up with the industry.
What did you think when the first rotary cutter came out? I mean, can you sort of remember that?
I remember it because you could actually make a straight line.
Yeah.
And if you wanted something to be 2 inches, because, you know, cutting across 42 inches with a wobbly yardstick was awful. You never ended up with pieces that were exactly the same size by the time you got to the end of the row.
It must have felt like, you know, like heaven had just arrived with the rotary cutter.
Well, and with half square triangles, it used to take a half yard of fabric, try and draw a grid that didn't slip and slide and have even sized triangles. It was impossible. So the tools are wonderful now.
Good for us. Yay, us. We have fabulous tools.
Right.
So you started your business
about 10 years ago.
About 10 years ago. So what sort of kick-started that for you? Why did you feel like, oh, you know, I think I want to put some patterns out there?
Well, I did a guild program based on and I just showed a quilt. I gave out a free pattern that I had made for my little nieces for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I gave out the free pattern. People loved it. Our local quilt shop said, can we sell it as a pattern? And then a distributor came in.
So a distributor came and saw your patterns that you were, you know, basically just doing for fun?
I had one pattern.
Oh, one pattern.
Just based on that Guild program. And she liked them and started selling them across the Midwest. And then I just started adding to those. So I never went into this intending to be a pattern designer.
Yeah.
I just went into it as a quilter. And it was lucky that somebody picked up that first pattern. And I was, that was the start of my business.
And was your, and were your first patterns the reproduction style?
Yes.
Okay. So you started like right from that point. Mm-hmm. So what is it like to fabric shop with you for, you know?
Well, first of all, I want it all.
Yeah.
So
oh,
shop
yeah.
owners love to see me come.
Get right.
I do love to see it all. And I keep building my collection because it's just, with reproductions, you don't buy for a particular quilt. You just buy to have a collection so that when you make quilts in certain colorways, you just have a wonderful stash to pull from.
And it's scrappier, the reproductions.
Yes, yes.
Do you find like all reproductions are more scrappy, or you know, do you ever do sort of a controlled, you know, like less fabric type reproduction quilt?
No,
no.
I mean,
no,
sometimes
we don't.
Sometimes I'll limit the palette to reds and blues and browns,
okay.
and then lots of different browns and reds and blues. But mm-hmm. I really try not to repeat a piece of fabric in a quilt. That's just my own thing.
Ah.
So I like to just see how many different fabrics I can use.
So when you're getting ready to do that, mm-hmm. How do you, you know, if you want to use a bunch of reds, you know, what's your process for selecting what will work together?
I start with, generally, do I want orange reds, pink mm-hmm. reds? I sort of pick that, decide okay, that.
Yeah, because they're different. They
right.
don't always look so
right.
great together.
And then I just sort of branch out from there, and then I try and take the reds into burgundies or into pinks. So I mm-hmm. try and extend both ways, then into lighter and darker. But I start with sort of an idea in mind of what I want.
The shade.
Right. And interestingly, what I find is I can do that if I'm pulling them all on one day, but if I wait a few days to try and come back to it, I've mm-hmm. sort of lost that feel for what direction I was going. It takes me a while to get back in that groove. So.
That's interesting. You know, that might be really helpful because if somebody's feeling like, oh, you know, I have so much trouble, mm-hmm. maybe it's because they're stopping and starting.
Right. I would say pull too many and then start eliminating.
Start eliminating, yeah.
It's easier to do that than it is to go back and try and find more.
Add more in, right. Do you shop for a hole in your collection? You know, like if you're missing, you know, more low on orange reds, do you go shopping like that, or is it
no? I just usually buy what's new. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm always looking for what's new, mm-hmm. and that sort of determines what I end up buying.
Tell me about your book now, The Civil War Legacies: Quilt Patterns for Reproduction Fabrics.
There are 15 different patterns in the book. Mm-hmm. All of them are scrappy, so for the person who has a good scrap collection,
that's great.
This is made for you.
Yeah.
They're small quilts.
Okay.
They're not miniatures, but
right.
they're small. They're more wall hanging size, table runner size. So this book doesn't have any full size quilts in it.
Mm-hmm.
They range in difficulty from easy to more complex. We've tried to provide instructions so that even a beginning quilter would be able to get through the mm-hmm. patterns. And as I said, some are good starter patterns. If shops want to pick them out for clubs, some we're finding shops are picking and choosing for clubs. And that
that's,
is...
That's really nice. Must... Do you have like some comments in here for people about how to go about selecting the fabrics for
I
each
do,
quilt?
I do, and then I also have little boxes in there that are tips for if you want to do a variation of this mm-hmm. quilt, some suggestions. The quilt on the cover, mm-hmm. It's an old pattern called Darting Birds, and I made my birds all different colors, mm-hmm. but I've had people who have decided they wanted all cardinals, so they used all their reds, or somebody who wanted blue jays and made all bluebirds, so... it's been fun to watch and see how people personalize that.
Now, you told me that you have fun naming your quilts.
I do.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about it.
Well, when I first started, mm-hmm. I named them after family members because mm-hmm. legacies to me suggest family and memories that you pass down. Yeah. And then I ran out of family.
Yeah.
And so I started looking for stories of women during the Civil War era. Mm-hmm. And I found a whole bunch of them about women who wanted to fight on the battlefield, but they mm-hmm. had to disguise themselves as men.
Oh, I've heard about that. Wow.
And so they disguised themselves in ways. For instance, there's one pattern called Lizzie's Tents, and Lizzie hopped from, she had a tent that she carried around with her, mm-hmm. and she went from, when they discovered that she was a woman, she packed up her tent and went to join another regiment, so she just traveled all around. Mm-hmm. I have a new pattern called Loretta's Corset, uh-huh. and Loretta served, but she needed to disguise her curves, and so she had a metal corset made that she would wear, and she was literally discovered to be a woman because it would shift, and so the corset would go one direction and she'd be another. And one of my favorites in the book is Mary Smith's dish rag. Mm-hmm. And Mary Smith was discovered because she was wringing out a dish rag one day, and someone said, "No man wrings out a dish rag that way." So that was how she was discovered. So there's some wonderful stories about how, you know, women in the Civil War. Right. And there's another pattern in this book called Hooker's Hat Patch. Mm-hmm. And General Hooker used to give soldiers who did valiant things mm-hmm. a red patch to put on their hat.
Oh.
Interesting. I mean, it's a target that you've just put on all of your men.
Right. Right. It's like, why would that be good? But it's a cool name. Interesting name.
Well, everybody wants to know who the hooker.
Right.
Yeah, so are we talking rug hooking? Or what do we mean?
So do you love the history part?
I like to read about it. Mm-hmm. I certainly am not a historian. Mm-hmm. In fact, the only D I ever got in my whole academic career was in U.S. history up to the Civil War. So it's a little bit ironic that this is where I've landed.
Yeah, you've landed on reproductions, right? Oh, my gosh. So when I'm always curious when I'm talking to people, like if you go to a quilt show, since you enjoy this type of quilt so much, I mean, is that the first thing you go and look at when you go to a quilt show, or do you sort of, you know?
I love to look at all of it.
To all of it. So you're still attracted to other styles of quilts.
I am. I just try not to buy too much of the other. I go home thinking, oh, I'm going to try something in pastels, and then it sits there.
So. Right. So you've sort of found your voice in this style of quilting.
Right. And but I do like to see what, you know, it's just walking the floor here is amazing to see the variety of, mm-hmm. of fabrics and styles and techniques and tools. I mean, just... Mm-hmm. It's an amazing experience.
Yeah, that's what I like too. Is you come in, there's something for everybody in quilting. You know, if you want to specialize because that's mm-hmm. your love and your passion, or if you want to do all kinds of, you know, try all kinds of things. There's everything out there.
Right. Lots now, of temptations.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh my gosh. Suitcase is full. My suitcase is full. So I want to tell people your website, CarolHopkinsDesigns.com.
Yes.
And they go out there, and you have.
All of my patterns are there. There's almost 70 patterns there.
Carol.
Each one has the story of why that quilt has the name that it does.
Right.
So you can just click on the story, and that's there. And there's also an enlargement, so you can see the quilt, not only the pattern cover, but the mm-hmm. whole quilt itself.
Yeah.
Click on the enlargement. So.
Well, Carol, this has just been wonderful to have you on the show and sharing your new book. Congratulations.
Thank you, Pat.
And we're going to... take a little break, and we'll be right back after this with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is. Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anil Ahoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics. Win quilting supplies worth over $1,200. Enter the 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge sweepstakes for your chance to win tons of fabric, books, tools, and more. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases to enter.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm here at the Kansas City Trade Show Quilt Market talking to designers. And I was thrilled to be able to catch up with Pam Vieira McGinnis of Pam Kitty Morning Blog. She is a designer. She's a pattern maker. She's a fabric designer. And her things are just so adorable. You know her and love her probably via her blog and her fabric lines. So, hey, Pam, I'm glad you could take some time out and talk to me.
Hi, Pat. I'm thrilled to be on your show.
Yay. This is so exciting. Your booth is just amazing.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate that. Holly wasn't able to be at Quilt Market with us because she has the flu. So it was Frankie, my daughter, and I, set it all up.
Yeah, setting up a whole booth, and luckily you've had a little experience, so you weren't first-timers, but still.
Right.
So tell me, Pam, you know, a lot of people first met you via your blog, because you've been blogging quite a while. Do you know how long?
I've been blogging since June of 2006.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. Do you feel like it's been that long?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where it seems like it's been forever and just a few weeks.
Just a few weeks. I know what you mean. So how did you pick that blog name, Pam Kitty Morning? Because your first name is Pam.
Yes, my first name is Pam. My last name is not Kitty Morning.
No.
Back when I first, before I started blogging, earlier in the year, my girlfriend Sandy Berry had started a blog, and she just kept sending me links to other people's blogs. And I was on the Posy Gets Cozy blog by Alicia Paulson, and using her blog role to travel around the internet and see all the blogs. And I came across this website called Kittycraft, and it was my first introduction to all the Japanese craft magazines, the different kinds of crafts, anything Japanese, and my head just totally blew off. I just never had seen it. I thought it was incredible. And anyway, my girlfriend Elizabeth Scott emailed me one morning, and she asked me what I was doing. And I said I was looking at the Kittycraft site, and I said I'm having a Pam Kitty Morning, and the name just stuck.
There you go. That's so fun, because you do love the little figures and things from sort of the Asian style.
Totally love that whole influence.
And you're now you have had a few jobs within the industry that are sort of fun and interesting that your average person doesn't get to do, such as being a stunt quilter for other people. Tell me a little bit about what that is, what you do.
Well, I just kind of coined that name, the celebrity stunt sewer, because I was sewing for Alex Anderson, because a lot of people just don't have time to sew every single thing that is in their books or patterns. And a lot of people have sewn for Alex, but she, when she finally ran out of other, you know, even better people, she asked me if I wanted to do some sewing for her. I've known her for quite a long time. And so she was my celebrity, and I was her scent sewer, and that's how we just, it was just kind of like the funny name that I called it, you know, like stunt work in movies, only it was like stunt sewing.
I like that.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Well, you know, when I was going to say, did you find that that gave you sort of the interest to do some pattern things yourself since you were working with somebody else's patterns?
Well, I just really got into the pattern thing because of my girlfriend Elizabeth Scott starting her pattern business. And, you know, it just kind of grew from there. She asked me if I wanted to do some bag patterns and, you know, just kind of grew every time we did a few more. And then as, you know, business progressed, we just were doing more patterns. So that's kind of how I got into it. I didn't really intentionally go out there and think, oh, I'm going to have a really cool line of patterns or anything. I just kind of stumbled into most everything, Pat.
Well, you know, that's sort of fun sometimes. It's sort of what serendipity, isn't it? It's just like,
it is exactly that.
You just sort of get to go one way or another and see what comes up. And the fabric, you must tell me what your new fabric line is like. It is too adorable.
Well, thanks. My new fabric line is very much like my old fabric line, same colors. The new line is Pam Kitty Love. And it's kind of a retro, it has a retro Valentine feel, but it is not truly a Valentine's. It's really more about friendship and that nostalgic feel. Mm-hmm. There's hearts, but it's not like totally hearts or anything.
Right.
It's the same kind of fresh colored florals that, you know, I'm known for in the past.
And the little kitty, that's just, it has sort of a vintagey, you know, the feel of it, but like your new line, she's in little dresses with adorable hats.
That was in the original line. That little kitty actually is from a vintage greeting card. When I saw it, I just thought she was just the cutest. And then when Holly asked me if, I would like to collaborate on a line with her, I just knew that little kitty had to be part of it.
See, this is where all of your, love of looking at that style got brought into your fabric line.
Right. Well, it's just all the kinds of things that I've always loved. And Holly has, she's tremendously talented, and she has done a lot of that retro feel, which is what kind of brought us together. And, she just knew right, she's a genius, so she just knew right what to do to make it so perfect and so Pam Kitty.
Yeah, it is. It's very you. People who read your blog, pamkittymorning.blogspot.com, can see that you use this style fabric all the time. And, it's everything you do is always fairly consistent, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's been my style, I think, for the last few years. I used to really like the more primitive colors, but I've always had a love of the 30s look and the 30s color palette, and so I just kind of moved into working almost exclusively with those kind of colors, and I think that's kind of the Pam Kitty palette, is a fresh 30s retro style palette.
Right, and you use a lot of white in yours, too, or at least an off-white.
Yeah, it's not like a white-white. It's kind of a step down from white, but not beige. Mm-hmm. So I think that also makes it look really fresh.
Yeah, very sparkly.
Yeah.
I like the sparkly part. And
yeah.
I have to congratulate you on being on the Orfield Designer of the Month team for 2012. You had June, which is just this month or next month. Yeah, we're talking in May, so it'll be June.
Yes, and I'm very excited about it. I hope people really like my design. It's different from everybody else's. I'm not like a seasoned designer like so many of the people on the list, but I have my fingers crossed.
Well, we're doing stitchery, so that's combining, another love of thread and fabric and just everything, isn't it? It's just,
yeah,
got to have it all.
I know. And I just really have enjoyed getting you know, kind of getting a bigger taste of embroidery than I have taken before.
Well, you know, every month everybody's doing a piece that's more, that's, you know, suits their personality. So, you know, we can't wait to see yours. Well, of course, I've seen it already, but I had a little sneak peek. So there we go. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait.
Yes. So you, because you do so much on the internet, Pam, you know, what do you, how do you think that has changed you as a quilter, having your internet community?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I think being on the internet has, you know, changed my whole life, really. You know, I worked in a quilt shop for many, many years. But getting on the internet, I think, I mean, again, serendipitous. I met a lot of people. I've had opportunities like sewing and, you know, being, you know, I've been in other people's books. I've been, you know, I've had opportunities to participate in magazine things, things like the Aurifil Block of the Month, having a fabric line. I mean, all of it is just because I think having a blog.
And you've even been like show, your blog has even been shown. Was it on Martha Stewart, one of her
Yeah. There's like a Martha Stewart Crafter Circle newsletter. I don't think it's actually, I think it's Martha People, not Martha herself.
Oh, okay.
But, yes. I think they pick up Twitter feeds by different crafty people somehow. And I'm not really sure how it all works, but it seems pretty magical.
Yeah, it's all.
I know,
total
having
magic.
Something to do with Martha Stewart. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, these things just, you know, show up. And, you know, I like that you answer people when they write to you, and that you also build community by hosting little things on your blog. That must be a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. And, of course, you know, I think that with anything that I've done so far, it's always been the people that make it so fantastic and the friendships that I've built since starting the blog, just amazing.
Well, Pam, this has been totally wonderful. I've really enjoyed, you know, having you on to share about your work, and I hope you have a lot more people come in and pick up your fabric and your patterns, and this has been so great.
Well, thanks for having me, Pat. It's been a super good time.
Yes. So we will take a little break, and this is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll be right back.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs, and baby's going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
The 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge continues through 2012, and we're taking the show on the road. Come sew with Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and other members of our editorial staff on June 22nd at AccuQuilt at their new office in Omaha, Nebraska. Stop by and make a pillowcase make a difference.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, here at the Kansas City Quilt Show. We're actually at the Quilt Market, which is the trade show. I'm still here chatting with designers and quilters about different things. It's fun to be able to talk to them in person. I am so excited to be able to have sister-in-laws Beth Hawkins and Liz Hawkins from Lizzie B Creative. You love their work. It is fun. It's whimsical. Their things always make me smile. I mean, I can't walk past their booth without a big grin on my face. And they have a new fabric line out, which is just luscious. It has the most gorgeous colors in it. And so this is really exciting. We're going to have them talk to us about their fabric and their patterns and what's going on in their life. Hello, Beth. Hello, Liz.
Hi, Pat.
Hey, you know, oh, thank you. You know, I just love being able to come by and see your booth because it's like I should make a beeline for it every time. You two are so immensely creative.
Aw, thank you.
Thanks.
Would you tell me a little bit about the fabric line itself? Beth, why don't you go first? Just tell me, just describe, tell me the name of your current fabric line, the one you're just showing.
Well, it's called Vogue. Henry Glass Fabrics is our fabric company that we design for. And the inspiration behind this line was a little bit of fashion and some fun, bright colors and some inspirational thoughts and even some architectural elements that we, had seen and kind of inspired this line. So there's three colorways. Bright, warm colors of pinks and oranges, and the second colorway is teals and blues and some purples, and then we did a colorway in gray, which is really fun because it kind of makes the color pop, and it's a little different for us. We kind of, in some of our previous lines, tended to do some black and white, so this is kind of fun to do some shades of gray and to kind of, make the colors pop.
Mm-hmm. So, Liz, are you the one that's drawing the fabrics primarily for the line?
I start with a sketch, and then we really send them back and forth to Beth. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And she has a really good eye, and she's like, no, that doesn't go. Go back to the drawing board, that kind of thing, until we get what we like and what kind of looks like us. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it starts out on paper. This line I actually did on the computer, which is a new step for me. But it made it a lot easier. Beth's really, really awesome at Photoshop, and she's getting better at Illustrator. So I can draw something on the computer and send it to her, and then she pops it in different colors and a little bit of a repeat. And so we're, as time goes on, we're getting a little more techie and kind of getting a little more adventurous in how we do our fabric design. And it's really fun to work together on it.
So when you're getting your idea together for a line, let's just say any line, it doesn't have to be Vogue, but are you two collecting visuals? Do you put together like a storyboard? What's your sort of process to kick it off?
Sometimes it's ideas that we snap pictures on our phone and text them back and forth, right, Beth?
Yeah, which is a great kind of our way of having a hard copy of something we talked about. In fact, we find that when we are together, we better take notes because we'll chat about something, and if it's not written down or in a text or an email, we might forget it. So it's kind of worked to our advantage to be a little bit long distance and to have things, in writing, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because this line, started with a couple photos. Liz, you were in, was it Paris, I believe? And
in Paris,
she had sent me a couple of really cool photos of, like, just a couple of little architectural elements that really kind of ended up becoming the inspiration for a couple of the more graphic pieces of fabric in this collection. So it's interesting how it, it comes from so many different places. And I think the main thing is we're just always open. You look with a different eye, sometimes when you're just in your everyday.
Well, and the funny thing, too, is that this line,
Well, we had designed two separate lines at the same time, and they both had completely different looks. And our fabric company wanted to kind of combine the two, take some designs from the one line and put it in with the other one. And they kept sending us things, and we would look at it and go, oh, this something is just not right. And we figured it out that this one that we ended up going with Vogue is a little bit more sophisticated. It's a little more, it just has a different feel, whereas the other line was very whimsical. And so meshing whimsical and sophisticated it was awful. Yeah. So it took, this one kept going back to the drawing board and until we hammered it out into what we really liked. So,
well, I can see the little architectural bits around, like the framing. Is that the part that look like, it almost looks like parts of a building?
The framing, kind of, there's bits that we took from tiles that I took pictures of. Oh my gosh, I think one was like a sidewalk.
Oh, well, there you go. Just the sidewalk can be inspirational.
Very sophisticated, the sidewalk.
It is.
Here in Paris. You just never know. You know, it's where the gum lands on the sidewalk. It's very artistic.
Right, and you would make that very cute, too. You know, if it was a cute line. Yeah. So tell me about the panel. What was what's your vision for how people will use the panel in your line?
Well, I think the fun thing about the panel is that it is a series of framed designs, so they can be used individually. You know, we did some projects, and we have some projects in our booth, pillows, and using them for, you know, a little apron or, you know, any kind of little small project where you can cut out just a portion of the panel and use that element. Or you can just stitch it up, add a couple borders, and make a real fun wall hanging. But it's kind of, I mean, to describe it for your listeners, it's a series of frames and cameos, some fashion elements. There's a couple of real inspirational little quotes and lettering and wording on the panel that make it kind of fun. So it's really kind of just up to anybody's imagination the way they want to use that.
Yeah, I like how you incorporate words. That's always one of my favorite things.
Yeah, we've realized we do that a lot in our designs. And we look back in a lot of our designs, even from our very first quilt that we designed, definitely had a lot of words, and so that's kind of become something that we tend to do.
And the panel is really, it's very feminine, and a lot of the words in there kind of, I think for me, were inspired by my daughter who's graduating this year, and it's really hard when your daughter grows up on you. She's not supposed to. And so a lot of the words in there are kind of like motivational, believe in yourself, you know, very positive and motivating for maybe a girl who's going on her way in the world, or, you know, just some positive words that you want in your life.
Well, you know, let's talk about travel, because you guys also teach, so you could go out and be motivational and inspiring to those, to people in person. What are some things that you're doing coming up in teaching? You have a fun project.
We do. We teach at guilds, so we travel sometimes together, but often individually to guilds here and there and teach. But our next big trip that we're doing is teaching at the Project Linus National Convention, which is coming up in the end of June.
Wow.
And this year it happens to be in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, so it's kind of in Liz's backyard. So she's traveling a short distance, so I'm flying across the country, and we'll be teaching there for 2 days. And that's a great organization if you're not familiar with it. They have a great... their website is projectlinus.org, and just if your listeners aren't familiar with it, they need to be. It's a great organization that benefits children who've been, you know, are either ill or been traumatized, and you know, comforting them with quilts and blankets. And
that's amazing. I'm so glad that you're able to go there and work with them.
Yeah, it's been really fun to get it put together. So it's coming up soon. We're excited about it.
And you're also, you told me, because I saw your flyer for it in your booth, you're doing a cruise.
We are. We're really excited about that. It's called the Quilt, Laugh, and Eat Chocolate Cruise, because that's what we tend to do.
Sign me up.
We quilt and we laugh and we do eat a lot of chocolate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you teaching? Are you teaching an applique project? Because you're primarily appliqueers.
We are. It's funny. Yeah, you know, since we've been designing fabric, we've branched out and you know, designed around our fabric collections as well. So we definitely have a little more piecing and fast and fun quilts in our repertoire. But for the cruise, we actually are designing a unique project that will be specifically for the cruise and the quilters on board. So that's kind of under wraps. It's designed and sketched, and I'm waiting on fabric to whip up the sample and get that whipped up. But that'll be real fun because we're definitely going to be vacationing and cruising, but then on the at-sea days, we'll be teaching and quilting, and so that'll be really fun. That's in September.
In September. Is there info on your website? You want to give your website name, Liz?
There is. The website is lizzybcreative.com. And I think the flyer is right there, front and center on our homepage. All the information is there. You can certainly contact we're doing it with Quilt Retreat at Sea. You can contact them for information. You can contact us directly. We can put you in touch with the travel agent that does all the booking. So I think there's still some space for a few more quilters.
Wow, that's, you know, this has been so much fun to have a chance to chat with both of you.
It's always fun to chat with you, Pat.
No,
it's fun to see you at Quilt Market. We finally get to see people face to face.
I know. That's the best part. Well, everybody, you need to go out and visit Liz and Beth at their website, Lizzie B Creative. Check out their new fabric line. Maybe get them to come and teach for you. So we are done here with the interviews at Quilt Market. I'm so excited. If you missed the first set of them, they were on June 11th, 2012. So you can go back and listen to those shows and hear the other interviews that I did. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll see you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.